I want to say good morning to you also, and you know, last week I began by taking a few minutes to celebrate one of the wins that we've seen in our time here, and so this week I want to do that again with a different number, and I want to celebrate another way that God has been at work at MCC over the years, and that is by looking at baptisms that we've had. And now, I came up with the list myself. I'm not going to put the list of names on there, but I do, to the best of my recollection, and I may have missed a few, we've had 24 or so baptisms since February 2012, and most of those have come from children of members or people who had previously been part of a small group. And through studying the Bible with others from this congregation, they have come to realize their need for biblical baptism. And so I want to use that number and that fact, where most of these are coming from, to show the importance both of the role of parents in the spiritual leading of their children, and also the role of small groups to be a catalyst for evangelism, for sharing the gospel. Only one that I could think of, only one of the baptisms since 2012 came as a result of someone deciding on a Sunday morning that they wanted to be baptized. But even then, that decision had been influenced by a group they had attended, in that particular case, youth group. So parents, you have the most influential role in your children's lives. Not only for whether they will follow Jesus or not, but in all areas of their lives, how they will see themselves, their self-esteem, how they learn to solve problems, how they learn to express love, so many other ways. The church and ministers and other ministries that and programs that we have can come alongside of you and help and supplement the education that you give your children, but they cannot replace the time and attention that you give them every day. So you may very well be the difference in your child's life as to whether they will accept Christ or not. And if you're not plugged into a small group, you're missing out on some of the most important ministry that happens in this church. Coming on Sundays is the start of your journey with Martell Christian Church. It's not the end or the arrival. We want so much more for you than just to see you one day a week. And the best discussions that you'll have, the best friendships, the sharing and the closeness will only happen in a small group and just can't be replicated on Sundays. So find a group, join a group, start a group, and watch God work. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the work that you have done in this church, not only since I've been here, but since this church has started. We know that you've been at work in this church for all those years before any of us were born. And we're thankful for what you have done. We're thankful for the wins that we can celebrate together. And now, fathers, we turn to your word to consider how we can learn about Jesus in that first Christmas in yet another way. Help us to be receptive to it, to see your word at work, not only in the world, but in our lives too. We lift all this up to you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we're going to turn to a place that doesn't get a whole lot of press in the Christmas season, because Nazareth isn't where Jesus was born. He was born in Bethlehem, and yet he grew up in Nazareth. Joseph and Mary were from Nazareth. And while this is a Christmas series, we're looking at all the places that shaped who Jesus is and how he was received in his day. And getting to know Jesus of Nazareth means knowing that Jesus was not always well received. And yet even that fact, that he was not going to be well received always, was known and predicted by God long before his birth in Bethlehem. Now, in case you aren't sure where Nazareth is, here's a map of Israel. I know it's a little bit hard to catch the contrast here. This is the border along the sea, all right? So you've got Jerusalem right here. Bethlehem's just a few miles south of that. Nazareth is up here in a district called Galilee. There's the Sea of Galilee. So there it is. That's how Israel was divided up in Jesus' time after the death of King Herod. The kingdom went to his three sons, and so there's a basic idea of where you would find Nazareth. So within a few years' time, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus traveled from Nazareth. Of course, Jesus wasn't born yet, but he was there. To Bethlehem, to Egypt, then back to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. And so that's where we're going to start and see how this all began. And we're going to start by seeing how it all began for Mary, Jesus' mother. And for this, I want to look in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. In the sixth month, by the way, that's the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." So this angel begins by saying to Mary, "Greetings, you who are highly favored." If you come from other traditions, you might have known that in Latin, that "highly favored" is translated as "full of grace." And Mary, her reaction to this was perfectly normal in seeing an angel. She was greatly troubled. Another way to translate that would be terrified. She was seeing an angel after all. But like Joseph, like the shepherds later on, the angel tells her, "Do not be afraid." One of the very first messages that angels often have to say is, "Don't be afraid." An implication: I'm not here to destroy you. Having an angel visit you was not always a good thing. But when they told you, "Do not be afraid," then you could relax. Now, verse 32 and verse 33, at the end of this greeting to Mary, it refers to say that his throne will never end, his kingdom will never end, he'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. Refers to prophecies given to King David in 2 Samuel 7. And so this is clearly a proclamation that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the anointed one, God's chosen and special Savior of his people. And I want us to see Mary's responses. Keep reading in Luke chapter 1 there, starting in verse 34. She said, "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. I appreciate Mary's response there. She says, how will this be?" She doesn't say, "How can this be?" She wasn't being skeptical that the angel was telling her the truth. She knew that it would happen, just didn't know how it was going to happen. How will this be? Actually, Zechariah is the one who said, "How can this be?" And as a result of his questioning, he wasn't able to talk for the rest of the pregnancy. And so her response is a response of faith. And the mention of Elizabeth is important. So for God to open the womb of someone in her old age, that's what God did for Sarah, Abraham's wife. After God had promised Abraham that not only would all nations be blessed through him, but that from him a great nation would come. This is before he had any children. And so the God who blesses the old and barren with children, the God who created the heavens and the earth, is the God who can create a male chromosome from nothing to conceive the Son of God. And Mary sees this, she understands this enough and responds in what I would call hopeful faith. I am the Lord's servant. She's saying, okay, all right, I will do this. So fast forward a little bit. They go to Bethlehem. They're warned in a dream to avoid King Herod and to escape to Egypt. And then we see how the Nazareth story comes full circle. And to see that, we turn to Matthew's Gospel and look in chapter 2, starting in verse 19. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets: "He will be called a Nazarene." Now, Nazareth, I've shown you where it was in Israel. It was a small town. It was a small town that was established after Old Testament times, which makes Matthew's statement here at the end, what was said through the prophets, "He will be called Nazarene," a little interesting, and for some a little confusing. It seems that what Matthew meant by saying this is what the prophets said is that Jesus was the Messiah who came from obscurity and was met with rejection. Now, to understand that, I want us to recognize that for all of the expectations of a conquering king for a Messiah, Scripture does paint another picture. And much of it is summed up in Nathanael's reaction when Philip says, "Hey, we found the Messiah, and it's Jesus of Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" It was not a compliment to be called a Nazarene. Indeed, the prophets pointed to a Messiah who, though he was the prophet like Moses who would lead the nations out of slavery to sin, yet was also very humble. We read in Zechariah's prophecy, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem, see your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle, and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The Messiah was unexpectedly humble. And he would also be a Messiah whose death was both tragic and horrible. Later in Zechariah, he writes, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." So his death would be tragic and horrible. And one of the most famous messianic prophecies is from Isaiah chapter 53. And this also points to the Messiah's very humble beginnings and his very easy-to-underestimate nature. It says this: "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not." So the Messiah would not necessarily be all that impressive, all that spectacular. He would come from humility. His death would be tragic. And even in Jesus' own day, not everyone believed that the Scripture even predicted where the Messiah would come from. We see in John chapter 7, they're having this discussion, and it says at that point, some of the people of Jerusalem began to ask, "Isn't this the man they're trying to kill? Here he is speaking publicly, and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? But we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he's from." So some in Israel in Jesus' own day believed that the Messiah would come basically from nowhere, so to speak. So to say that the prophets said he will be called a Nazarene is Matthew's way of saying, you know how Nazareth is this inconsequential town with no history and nothing going for it, nothing great ever happening there? You know that Nazareth? That's just like what the prophets said about the Messiah, without specifically saying Nazareth. He's going to be a Nazarene. He's going to be rejected. He's going to come from humble beginnings. He's going to come from obscurity. And further, Matthew's saying that Jesus will be looked down upon. Not everyone accepted him. It was in Nazareth that Jesus said, a prophet is not accepted in his own hometown. But Mary knew who Jesus was. And after her visit to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth praises God for Mary's pregnancy and acknowledges that the baby inside of Mary is her own Lord and Savior, Mary gives this powerful proclamation, this declaration. It's called Mary's song. I'm not sure that it's a song, but she says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." Now that's a powerful thing to say in the midst of a government that was sent by Rome to rule over Galilee, Judea, these three brothers who were sons of King Herod. After King Herod died, the kingdom was split among them. And so for Mary, not long after Herod's death, to say, it's God who brings rulers down, it's God who scatters the proud, she's really making a very political statement too, a very defiant statement to the ruling authorities. It was a brave thing for her to say. And yet she could say it in full confidence because she knows who this baby is. It's a quick review of God's work in history, a history of redemption and miraculous salvation in spite of overwhelming odds against God's people. She references Egypt. She references Herod in an implied way and all the current rulers, saying God is going to keep His promises. God will have the victory. A powerful and very bold declaration that Mary proclaims. And so we have Jesus from this obscure, pathetic Nazareth. This is the Messiah promised in the Scriptures. And though Pilate mocked Jesus on the cross with the sign that he had written that says, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." It was meant to be an insult, but by the time Peter preaches the first sermon on the day of Pentecost, his first reference to Jesus in that sermon is to call him Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth was made great by what God did there. So let me ask you, what areas of your life are hidden, obscure, pathetic, make you fit for rejection? The more we let God into those areas of our lives, as the song says, "Let every heart prepare Him room." The more we let God into those areas, the more He will change them from Nazareth to Nazareth. That's the invitation today. The invitation is for all of us to find those areas of our lives where we need God to work, where we need God to transform, areas that are in, because of our past, places of shame and dishonor and ridicule and rejection. we allow God into those areas and give them to Him, He can transform them into a great place where His work of redemption is powerful and complete. So that's my invitation for you today, is to let every heart prepare Him room, especially in our Nazareths, so that they will become Nazareth. Let's stand, let's sing our song of invitation today.